Welcome to our second energy conference for the state of Oklahoma. I have to give Secretary Ming a tremendous amount of credit for Oklahoma's statewide comprehensive energy plan because he and his staff have done a super job of helping to guide policy as Secretary of Energy. And we appreciate President Henry. Thank you so very much, you and your support from Oklahoma City University and all the different things that you do in the city and in the state to continue to make an impact upon Oklahoma. We appreciate your leadership on this conference. And Dean Agee, we appreciate all that you do, too, with the Minder School of Business. And the help and support that you've given to put this conference together with so many great speakers and lots of information that will be very valuable to all of us in this room. And we do appreciate the Martin family and their support for making this day possible. And I see a lot of our elected officials. My staff was telling me a few moments ago that we had over 40 elected officials registered to be at this conference. That's a large turnout. And what that says is that our elected officials get it, too, that energy and energy policy in our state is critical to Oklahoma's future. And that's why they're here today, is to support the energy industry, to learn from the experts that are here today, and to network, to talk about how we can make things even better in Oklahoma and continue to move Oklahoma forward. So thank you to all of our elected officials that have come here today, and numerous ones. And, of course, we're very excited about our energy executives that are here. They're going to share a lot of their expertise, also network with us, and employees, and, of course, all the attendees that are represented here today to help this be a very successful event. And I appreciate our first gentleman, my husband, Wade Christensen, who has joined us over here. Thank you. He's an attorney here in Oklahoma City. We appreciate you stopping by to be a part of this, too. Well, it's always a good time together again to talk about energy, the energy sector in our state. I was reading some information that said at the time of our statehood, until about the 1920s in Oklahoma, that Oklahoma was the largest oil-producing entity in the world. And all you have to do is look around the Capitol, and especially the wonderful old pictures around the Capitol grounds, and see all the oil wells that are around there. And, of course, still see that there today, which we keep, because we never want to forget the greatness of the beginnings of our state, the impact that the energy sector has had. And we still are a leader, certainly, in oil and oil production. We're also ranked fourth in the nation in natural gas production, which we're very proud of. The energy industry itself supports more than one-third of Oklahoma's gross state product, and it helps employ more than 300,000 Oklahomans. The oil and gas industry also accounts for about 95% of the energy produced in the state, just that segment of the energy sector, oil and gas. So it's a large portion of Oklahoma's energy. The oil and gas severance taxes in Oklahoma that are collected contribute nearly $1 trillion. And taxes to Oklahoma to help us do things that are important priorities like education, transportation, public safety, health, and other services that we offer in the state of Oklahoma. So I'm very proud of the energy sector. I don't apologize that we've got great resources in our state, and it's something that I think we have to all continue to develop and move forward. And that's why this conference is so important, because it gives us the opportunity to come together to hear the latest in technology, to talk about regulatory issues, talk about just production itself, new companies coming online, great established companies that are here, to identify ways that we can work together to make sure that Oklahoma does remain that energy leader that we already are. And we know that one of the most important things that a leader needs to have is a plan. There's an old saying that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. We got to know where we're going, and we got to have a plan, a road to get us there. And that's something I don't think Washington understands. I don't know if they have a plan or a road to get them to where we need to be going as a nation as it comes to energy policy. But fortunately, it is something that we do have and something that we do understand is important in our state. At last year's energy conference, we unveiled the Oklahoma First Comprehensive Energy Plan for our state. It's an outline that helps us capitalize on Oklahoma's human and natural resources in a way that's practical, in a way that's realistic. And it does support an all-the-above energy strategy, building upon Oklahoma's energy strengths and Oklahoma's energy resources. It looks for ways to leverage our traditional energy, like natural gas, instead of trying to replace it. It's a guide that describes how we can make our total energy system better. But maybe the best thing about it is that it's not a long report that is put up on a shelf and we say we've been there, done that, we got a report. But it's actually a roadmap, a plan, something that we use, Mike, I think every month, if not every week, to see if we're meeting the targets that we have set forth for our state and actually implementing it. So I want to talk a little bit about the plan itself that we introduced last year, talk about the benchmarks, the milestones, and the progress that we have made in the state of Oklahoma. One of the themes of our energy plan is looking for ways to build new markets for Oklahoma, and especially in one of our core strengths, which is natural gas. Oklahoma is one of the nation's leading natural gas producers, as we know, and the companies in our state have paved the way to discovering tremendous supplies, 100 years plus supply of this resource. And of course, as we know, a lot of the resources is located right here in Oklahoma. Natural gas is one of the keys to moving towards energy independence for our nation and weaning our nation, the United States, off foreign oil. Using more natural gas can also help to create a cleaner, a healthier, and better environment for Oklahoma, and it will undoubtedly also create thousands of jobs and has created thousands of jobs and spur economic growth in our state. That's one of the reasons the energy sector is one of the reasons why we have the fourth lowest unemployment rate in the nation at 5.1%, and also one of the reasons why Oklahoma has one of the best per capita growth rates. Just in 1 year alone, in 1 year time period, our per capita income per family grew $4,000, a 9% growth over the year before, in 1 year. And much of that is because of the trickle-down effect of the energy sector and all the different industries that we have, and certainly a large part because we have a great, robust energy sector. For those of you that were here last year, you might remember that we introduced Governor John Hickenlooper, who's a Democrat from Colorado. But he'll be here in a little bit. But you might remember we videoed Governor Hickenlooper into our energy conference, and he and I jointly signed a memorandum of understanding between our two states to work together to encourage our auto manufacturers in the U.S. to produce a more functional, affordable natural gas vehicle. And I thought that was a pretty bold move that the two of us would step out and say, hey, we believe we can create a tipping point, a turning point, what I would call a game changer idea to bring forth that Oklahoma and Colorado joining together between us, a Democrat and Republican in a bipartisan way, which is a good thing, President Henry, for us to work together, that we could take the purchasing power combined from our two states and help provide a demand for the support and design of a CNG vehicle, that we could help drive down the cost in the marketplace itself to make it more affordable, and to also change the functionality of being able to get the types of vehicles that we need, that we would use in our state, and of course drive down the cost. So we saw that as a win-win situation for not only Oklahoma and Colorado, but we also thought it would be good in many, many ways. First of all, it helps the environment, helps with our emissions, improves our environment. It will definitely save the taxpayers money if you look at the price differential between gas and a gallon of gasoline. It'll help us be more energy independent as a nation. It will also help with creating jobs, not only in our state, but certainly around the nation. And ultimately, we believe that our memorandum and joining together would help provide a platform to design natural gas vehicles that were more affordable, not only to state governments and use them in state fleet systems, but also to the consumers that are across not only Oklahoma, but across our nation. And, of course, when we do those things, it also means for our legislators more money coming back into our general revenue, into our budget, to once again be able to put towards the priorities of our state. So we had a plan. We introduced that. We also made it a personal goal between the two of us that he would contact governors, I would contact governors, and we would tell them our plan. And we did that. Now, remind you, this was last October, a year ago. So we started out with our two states. In a couple weeks, we had four states. And then we went to about six states. And then we jumped up to 14 states with governors actually signing the memorandum. And that was within about a six-month time period. And just yesterday, or 2 days ago, I flew up to Richmond, Virginia to meet with Governor McDonnell. And he had his governor's conference on energy starting. And Governor McDonald signed his memorandum of understanding with me present to make it the 15th state to join in an effort that was started right here last year at this energy conference with an idea that originated from us to bring together governors in a bipartisan way to say, we think this is something that can be a game changer for our nation to help us utilize more American-made energy to help bring transformation to our transportation systems in the nation. And then, of course, our job was to go to Detroit and convince the U.S. automakers that this was a good idea, which I thought was pretty bold, too, to go do that. So collectively, in fact, not only did we have the 15 governors sign a memorandum, but then we had other states and their purchasing offices contact us and say, we want to be a part of that, too. And so actually we're now up to 22 states that have joined in this request for proposal that we let several months ago that solicited bids back from the U.S. manufacturers, auto manufacturers, to ask them to solicit from U.S. auto dealers various types of platforms for vehicles that we could use in our state fleets and to give us pricing on those. Well, as I mentioned, when we went up to Detroit, we met with Ford, Chrysler, GM. We also did a conference call with Honda and told them about our plans and our initiative, what we were looking at doing. And I thought maybe we'll get a couple staff people that will come meet with me and Governor Hickenlooper. We went together. That didn't happen. We actually had anywhere from 10 to 14 top-level executives from Ford, Chrysler, GM that met with us personally, which we greatly appreciated, and listened to what we had to say. We asked them, of course, questions about what's available, what's on the market, talking about some of our needs in our various states. And when you think about the purchasing power of these 22 states coming together, I mean, that's a big deal for them. Of course, the other side of this whole coin, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the results of our bid proposal that we got back, and we're going to be making a full announcement on that tomorrow, but we'll give you a general outline later today, is that the plan, being what it is, we also know that not only do we need to be able to buy these vehicles at the right price and to get the automakers to work with us to do this, but then we have the other side of the coin, which is the infrastructure, which a lot of people say, well, how do you put natural gas vehicles on the marketplace and on the roads and the transportation system if you don't have the infrastructure in place? And that's a chicken and egg scenario. Which comes first, the consumers or the filling stations that will come with there with paying customers? So in Oklahoma, we tackled that problem by helping jumpstart through our CNG vehicle initiative ways that we can encourage the private sector to join in with us to address the infrastructure part of this equation. With leadership of our retailers like Oklahoma Natural Gas, with Love's, OnQ, and others, and our producers like Chesapeake, and other companies like Tulsa Gas Technologies, Oklahoma now has 63 public filling stations. If you add in the privates, we have well over 90 throughout our whole state, making Oklahoma number one in the nation in per capita public CNG stations. That's a great bragging point for our state. Come a long way in a short time. In fact, Oklahoma has more public CNG filling stations than Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, and New Mexico combined. We're a leader. In their energy plan, we also said that we need to continue to support existing legislative goals regarding the geographic placement and the density of CNG fueling stations. Many of you may recall a piece of legislation that was signed back in 2010 that declared a goal that by 2015 we would have at least one public CNG filling station every 100 miles along our interstate transportation system. Well, we're not going to have to wait till 2015 before we achieve that goal, because today there is only one stretch on our interstate highway system where we currently don't have one per every 100 miles. Only one place, and that is along I-40 going towards Arkansas. But that's remarkable that we could develop our infrastructure, set a goal in 2010, and be able to meet that goal. And, of course, the next phase of that goal is that by 2025, we would like to have one public filling station every 50 miles in the state of Oklahoma. And then, of course, I hope we can exceed that as we continue to move along. Well, I've talked a lot about CNG, and we're going to talk about more of that later today. But there are a lot of other things that are in our state's energy plan, which, as I said earlier, supports an all-the-above energy strategy. But there is more that we can do and we should be doing to support Oklahoma's energy industry. Things like making sure that our state is in front of a very complex and very evolving regulatory climate. Lord knows it's hard to keep up with all the things coming out of Washington, D.C., and so in order to stay in front of issues that could affect our state and could affect the energy industry and issues that are important to us, such as hydraulic fracturing, we have been working to stay ahead of the regulatory side of things and have been working on ways to work with the public to be able to stay ahead and be able to help develop systems to disclose chemicals that are used in hydraulic fracturing through our fracfocus.org, which I think helps us when it comes to the federal side and regulations, and many times what I see can be, as Secretary Ming mentioned, the heavy hand of federal government coming down on one size fits all. And so in our energy plan, we developed and worked with our Corporation Commission. I see several of our Corporation Commissions that are here to pass a rule that required our energy companies to do just that, they use fracking, to be able to disclose that. And it's something that I was happy to sign, one that I think will be good, because we know that hydraulic fracturing is very important in the production of oil and gas, and certainly change the marketplace, change the face of the opportunities that are available in those two arenas. This is the type of thing I think we do need to do in Oklahoma, is to show that we can and we do effectively regulate our own industries. We don't need the heavy hand of the EPA or others in Washington, the bureaucracies, to come in and try to just put a one-size-fits-all policy over the state of Oklahoma, telling us that they know more about Oklahoma than what we know about our own state. I think we know a lot about the energy sector. We've perfected many of the technologies, the processes right here, and invented many of them here in Oklahoma. And so we're going to do everything we can to be good stewards of our land, our water, and our air, and protect our drinking water, protect things that are important. And we believe we can do that best here in Oklahoma. Oklahomans know what's best, and we know how to take care of our environment, our health, and certainly about our public safety. And that's why it's also important that we get out in front of these potential regulatory issues in our own terms. And we can do that not just because the EPA told us to or because we think it's necessary to comply with some type of federal regulations, but we do it because we think it's in the best interest of the state of Oklahoma to stay ahead of those things. That also applies to our state's electric generation, building markets for partnerships with things like natural gas, which also means finding ways to leverage our resources, whether it's wind, whether it's natural gas, to help reduce emissions while also affordably powering our state, our businesses, and our homes. And that's another great example of where Oklahoma has taken the lead. The state has worked with one of our great Oklahoma companies, PSO, on a proposal to the EPA to gradually phase out their older coal-fired plants over the next 15 years instead of investing in expensive scrubbers. Rather than continuing to import energy resources in our state, PSO will gradually transition to Oklahoma resources to help improve Oklahoma's air quality, which the EPA watches, while also creating Oklahoma jobs, producing important revenues back to our state that once again can go to education, go to public safety, roads, and other state needs. This was an agreement that was conceived by a private company instead of the federal government coming in and saying, you know, we're going to force this. And they determined that it would be in their best interest and the best interest of their consumers to find a resolution to work together on a plan forward rather than just letting any road get them there. So working with PSO, Oklahoma has stayed ahead of the regulatory curve rather than waiting on an inevitable, untenable federal mandate that might come down on us. And that's the way business can and should be done. Now, with all that being said, and I think Secretary Mean made reference to this, we understand the importance of fuel diversity in Oklahoma. We understand that. It's an important part of the mix. And we also understand that we have coal in Oklahoma. It's a part of our mix of our energy sources. We're not about eliminating the use of coal in Oklahoma. I'll just tell you that. But what we're looking for is a mix of the resources that's best for Oklahoma. And we do appreciate that other states have other resources that are better for their states, just as Oklahoma has an abundance of oil and gas in our state. And we understand that the states need to do what they need to do for their business climate, certainly to be able to power their businesses and their homes and utilize their resources wisely. I just wanted to add that in there. Another way Oklahoma can move forward to develop complementary energy models is using multiple energy sources. And one of those opportunities, as I mentioned, is wind, which we are very fortunate to have an abundance of, as our song says, when the wind comes sweeping down the plains. It certainly creates clean energy, and it is a great source of energy that Oklahoma is ranked 6th in the nation as it relates to wind. It certainly helped with our electricity production, but we also know that wind is one of those resources that you either use it or you lose it, and when the wind's not blowing, you have a challenge ahead of you. And that's why when we talk about partnerships and balancing our energy mixes, that we can find other great partnerships, such as with, once again, natural gas and the wind energy itself, to balance that energy generation. A new generation gas plants are specifically designed to quickly balance up and balance down for the times when wind speeds are either up or they're down. So we want to keep seeing wind farms built around Oklahoma, and I think that's important for all of us. We need to embrace other partnerships. We need to embrace clean new gas technologies designed to complement the wind energy sector. And wind energy, of course, is another key part of our energy plan because it is a great source of renewable energy in Oklahoma. You probably also remember that Oklahoma has a renewable energy goal of 15% capacity by 2015 with wind energy. In addition to the other resources like hydropower, biomass, we've made some incredible progress on that renewable goal that we have set. In our energy plan, we talked about working to exceed that 15% goal, and I'm happy to share with you today that we're just right under and right around 14% right now. And that's just by the end of 2011. Our goal was by 2015, so 2011. And with the number of projects that we have coming online right now with wind generation, we believe that we're on track to be well ahead of our goal for 15%. And that is without a mandate. It's without a mandate, which I think we should all applaud ourselves of being able to accomplish that goal. And when we achieve our goals for wind development, and we have been, we also have to look at the other side of the equation. It's very important to this, and that's the transmission side of this. And that is why I supported Clean Line Energies and their ability to be able to export wind, especially to the southeastern part of the United States. And I appreciate what the Corporation Commission has done to work with Clean Line to make that possible. While we're working to lead the way on renewable energy, we're also working on making Oklahoma more energy efficient. And I'm happy to say that we worked with the legislature this past year to pass legislation to improve our energy efficiency in state government itself by saying that we hope to have a 20% savings in all state buildings across the whole state of Oklahoma by the year 2020, which is a giant step. In fact, if we can accomplish this, and I do believe we can, we estimate it's going to save the state of Oklahoma between $300 to $500 million between now and the year 2020. That initiative, along with leadership once again from great companies like OG&E, PSO, ONG, and CenterPoint, are also like our nationally recognized smart meter program that we have in Oklahoma that is enabling the smart grid of the future to be in Oklahoma, is getting Oklahoma some great attention as being one of the leaders in the nation on energy efficiency. In fact, part of my trip to Washington was to go to the American Council on Energy Efficiency and Energy Efficient Economy, where they rolled out their annual report yesterday, the rankings of all the states. Last year, when Oklahoma came out in that ranking, we were listed 47th in the nation in energy efficiency. And then, of course, we introduced our energy plan. We started putting forth some of these different ideas I've been telling you the progress on. And so they asked me to come back yesterday to speak at their award ceremony and talking about where the states ranked. And I'm happy to report that Oklahoma was the most improved state in the nation. Great accolades once again that our energy plan's working. So as we can keep moving that needle forward, keep moving it in the right direction, that's good for all of us because it saves money, it helps certainly our environment. There's still a lot more work to be done in that particular area, but it's a great talk, great point that we've been making. Well, I've talked a lot about gas, about wind, about energy efficiency, but let's not forget the importance of oil in the state of Oklahoma. And for the first time in years, our oil production is increasing. Over the last many years, I should say, it's been increasing. And we've worked hard to make sure that we do everything we can to encourage the development of oil in the state of Oklahoma. And certainly have many great companies doing huge things, not only here in Oklahoma, but across the whole United States and even in foreign countries. And because of that, that's why it's so important that we do everything we can to help oil get to the market and get to the marketplace. And that is why I've been an out front, outspoken supporter of the Keystone XL pipeline, and especially going through Cushing, Oklahoma, and doing everything that I can do to help push the administration, to help work with TransCanada, other governors along the route, who I call frequently and talk to make sure we can help relieve the congestion in Cushing, but also provide additional capacity so that Oklahoma companies like the Devon Energies, like Continental, and others that are operating in areas like Canada and North Dakota, other areas of the nation, can collectively help get that oil to the marketplace and help move us closer, move North America closer to energy independence from foreign oil, which I think is very important not only for our national security, but certainly very important for our economic security. We've shown that energy jobs can create jobs and opportunity and revenue back into our economy, and that's why Oklahoma's doing well right now. It's a great lesson that Washington can learn from Oklahoma. In fact, I think other states can learn from that. Well, I want to just end today by saying thank you to all of you who are participating in this Energy Summit. As I said, we support an all-of-the-above energy strategy, but we're also going to work on strengthening our core natural strengths in our energy mix in our state. We think it's important that we have a plan, that we measure those plans, that we milestone the progress that we are making. Today, I wanted to outline what we introduced last year, where we're at today, some of the recognition that we're getting nationally and locally on some of our planned initiatives, and frankly, to hold ourselves accountable for what we're doing. Your exchange of ideas at this summit is very, very important because you're the industry experts. You're the ones out there working every single day, whether it's with the federal regulatory environment, whether it's our state regulators, whether it's our state legislators, to our congressional elected officials. We need your input. We're here to listen. We want to make our energy policy productive and to help move Oklahoma forward. And in turn, as we move Oklahoma forward, we think we can be an example to the rest of the nation. So thank you so much for coming here today, and thank you for all of you that have sponsored this and those who have organized it. We appreciate you.